Hey everyone, are you ready for a red hot episode of the Venture Maidens? Thank you to all of our Patreons, and a special thank you to Emily Mayo for our badass theme song. And of course, thank you to all the people who have rated and reviewed us. And if you've made it this far without rating and reviewing, what are you even doing with your life? Go, I commend thee! I'll even wait till you get back. Well, now that's taken care of, let's hear about some Savage Encounters on the Savage Sea. Encounters on the Savage Sea is a 5-star rated best-selling supplement on the Dungeon Masters Guild. This supplement contains 19 unique encounters for you to add to any nautical campaign. Have you picked up that Ghost of Saltmarsh book? Have you picked up that book that Celeste wrote on the DM's Guild? Well, if you haven't had enough nautical naughtiness, well, here's your chance. In the Encounters on the Savage Sea, you'll get to visit the township of Badoo, the village riding on the back of a gigantic dragon turtle, because who didn't want to live out that last scene in Avatar? There are also encounters with space pirates. You can also interact with goblin pirates commanding strange water vehicles, roleplay with loan sharks, endure the fog of horrors, and so much more. But alright, now let's get to that sweet, sweet recap. Last time on the Venture Maidens, our heroes received some real bad news from Rana. He and Rem have been secretly working together to observe some business that's shady as hell, thanks to some drow up at North Point. There was a lot of he said, she said, they said, as the maidens talked to every single NPC about what to do with the situation. You know, sometimes you just gotta get through all the dialogue options to make the best and most informed choice. But everyone is fighting, and ultimately the maidens decided to sit tight through the grand joust event, what could go wrong, until Duke Ruvain can rally some soldiers to help fight the threat. Valeris took Saye on an astral walk to see the drow situation, and it was creepy as heck. And that's it! Alright, well let's get back to it.
Gather round, travelers, to hear our tale. Our heroes are reunited at last as our warlock returns from her astral travels. Can the Sisters of Sorrow rally together to face the threat from the north? What has Arnadel been doing all this time? Who is the mysterious Green Knight? Find out in episode 63, Connect 4.
Everybody can see us now. Hello! Hello, internet! Oh my gosh! Look, everybody's here! It's a full house just like we promised! Wow. Let's just take a moment. I want to stare deeply into all of your internet eyes.
We'll do the Brady Bunch thing.
Yeah. Da-da-da. Yeah. Yay! Oh, hi, hello everybody joining us for the super special moment. Look, even in D&D Beyond, all of our characters are back here. I am over the moon, y'all, to be back, and I know we haven't played in about a month at this point, so we're about to dive into a really painful recap, but I'm so excited to have you here. Crap, we should go around and decide what order we're all going in.
But it was always alphabetical, wasn't it?
But now we have a different alphabet.
Let's try a new one. Let's go ahead and
reverse alphabetical.
Brittany, Katie, Nassim, and Sage. Are
you
ready?
That's still alphabetical.
That's not alphabetical. Okay. All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Venture Maidens podcast. My name is Celeste Conowich, and I will be your dungeon master.
Your long-lost warlock. Elf Moon Warlock has returned. Brittany Quintero, a.k.a. Arnadel Athel.
Nice!
I'm a little rusty. Sorry, you'll have to be. It's been like 5 months.
I was like, Brittany, I was like, when did you last play D&D? Yeah,
like 5 months ago.
Anyway.
I'm Katie. I play Farah, your divine soul tiefling sorceress.
And I'm Nassim, your human
this
monk.
This is going great.
Sayonur. That's about it.
You're a monk. YOLO.
And I'm Sage, and I play the ever-lovable Dwarven Barbarian, Cara Brynhilda.
Yay! Oh my gosh, you guys, we're back. Yeah, wow. And now we have four maidens, so I have to make the game 25% harder. So are you ready? Oh, are you ready for difficulty hard mode?
I was born
more
ready.
More lair actions.
Yeah, seriously. But anyway, we're here, and let's dive in. yeah, so basically that's where we're picking up. When last, the very end of the last episode, you had just gone, yeah, on this astral journey to go and confirm, like, the movement of the drow around the fortress of Northpoint. And you had seen that, indeed, there were these large number of drow forces that were hidden under the ground. And they seemed to be, they had slaves and they had resources and encampments. And they seemed to be mining something out of this big central pillar in this cavern here. So you had gotten that confirmation and tried to get more information on what exactly they're digging out or mining. You're not really sure. And then you had been, yeah, repelled by those dark, strange incantations and just pitch blackness. And you had zoomed back to your bodies, which were now sitting outside its evening time in the middle of this grand tourney. So there are all these tents, everything around you. The air is still warm, because, you know, it never really gets cold here. But you zoom back to your bodies, and Valerius had looked up at you all and said, "I am afraid." And that's where we're diving in right now. So it's the three of you here. You're with Valerius currently in this tent, and he's just looking sort of stupefied, like he's in deep thought.
What happened? What'd you see?
He looks over at you, Saye.
I gathered it wasn't good.
No. The drow clearly are up to something in the mountains surrounding North Point. It looked like they're uncovering something, if that makes any sense. And then we tried to go deeper and, I don't know, magic stronger than mine kept us from seeing what was buried in the depths. But I do not think Rem and Rana were deceiving us about the nature of this peril.
Well, good to know that they're not fucking with us. Not so great to hear about what they might be up to.
Do you have any idea, Kara? Is this... You're probably more familiar with the drow than I.
Yes, could I make a... nature... Or not a nature, I don't know. A history check?
Yeah!
To see what I would remember about kind of weird shit they do.
The weird shit the drow do check.
Oh!
There's a lot!
That's pretty good! That's an 18.
Okay, so drow mining is sort of weird. I mean, they do frequently take slaves of the people who live underground and are adept at mining. So like Serf Neblin, Duergar. Yeah. So they do enslave them to like mine gems and precious metals for them on occasion. But something of this scale, you're not really sure what would be interesting to drow there. Maybe they're carving out like a new place for a city or... You know, drow aren't known particularly to be like.
Yeah,
I mean, maybe it's something archaeological though.
They get other people to do their dirty work for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Kara says, well, you know, they're not really big on getting dirty because they're real hoity-toity types. You know, being elves and all."
Valerius raises an eyebrow.
So they're not really big in the mining. So I, you know, the only thing that I could think of is that, you know, if they're trying to expand territory or, yeah.
It also just, I don't know, that amount of magic was hiding something. I think they're looking for something. Well, I'll go and consult my notes and see, what I can do. And he, you can tell he's thinking, his mind is racing a million minute, like, miles a minute right now. And he stands up and, you know, all around you was that large, like, that ritual circle he had, you know, carved in the ground. And there's, like, chalk and candles and everything. And he just sort of, like, steps over all of this, like, pushing, like, burnt out candles aside and, he, like, lifts up the tent flap and, don't I'll try and have answers for you as soon as I can. Stay close. I don't know. And he walks out of the tent.
Kara turns to all of you and says, if you're telling me that, you know, about all those drow that were there and slaves and everything, I definitely don't think we can face them with just the three of us. That seems crazy.
No.
Well, no, I mean, that's the whole point. We're waiting to go with Rana. Oh, not Rana. Ravain.
Sorry, I like our names with A's.
I'm also just really bad at names, so you shouldn't expect anything from me. Yeah, so we won't be the three of us. At least we'll be bringing some reinforcements so that Rem and everyone who is still at the keep has backup in case something
happens. I think that we should wait for Valerius to come back, but do you think he's going to want to share this information with Kristoff and all of them now that we know that it's true?
I mean, I definitely think so. I mean, Valerius did say that he's, you know, more friends with Rem than anything, and that's how we got to be in this organization. But, you know, I think he would. It makes sense, you know, because he's like one of the fancy hats.
Fancy hats, right. Well, I guess we wait. I don't really want to proceed without his judgment. He clearly knows what's up with that kind of magic. But
yeah, someone more powerful than him is kind of scary.
Yeah.
I'm going to step out of the tent or wherever we are right now and just see if I can catch Valerius and see where he's headed off.
Sure. Go ahead and give me a perception check.
Okay.
Rolling some dice. It's real. D&D, suckers. It's here.
Modified 20. A dirty 20, if you will.
All right. So you see Valerius has moved quite quickly as he's gotten out of the tent. And he seems to be jettisoning, like, down the main rows of tents. So he's clearly not going to, like, Kristoff's tent or his own tent. He is heading off down the main thoroughway in some direction.
Okay. Well, I'll pop back in and I'll just say, duh, I think he's just going off somewhere to think for a while. And even if he does end up telling Kristoff, it's not like it changes what we need to about it.
I agree. We clearly have to do something. Not much we can do for now, I guess. It feels weird to just sit here when we know that's going on.
Yeah, I definitely agree. But it's probably the smartest thing. And she, like, furrows her brows and starts to, like, stare very seriously, like, at the wall. Like, lost in thought.
Yeah.
Well, I'd say we be as productive as we can be in the meantime. I'm gonna go stretch my legs for a bit.
yeah.
Pilates!
Yeah, so right now it's probably about 9 o'clock at night, so the foot traffic has definitely died down. Most people are, you know, sleeping it off in their tents at this point, since it's been, like, a big party festival for, like, a week. And tomorrow, bright and early, like, 6 a.m. is going to be the start of the joust, which is the biggest event of the Grand Tourney. So, you know, everybody's sleeping, getting prepared for that. So it's very quiet, peaceful. So sorry, yeah, you're going off to stretch. Anything Kara and Farah are doing?
I don't know. I think that Farah is just a little distressed right now because she lived a very leisurely life and now there's a war afoot and she's like, shit, man. I don't know. She just kind of looks at Kara and she's like, wanna play cards? I don't...
Kara kind of she laughs and she's like, yeah, let's and she pats you on the shoulder. Let's go get a drink and play some cards.
Okay, excellent. I'm glad you added that other part in.
All right, Arnadel. So you are currently standing on the deck of Imogen, the ship that has been taking you around the plains over these past 2 weeks. You have traveled on this ship, which now is careening through the planes itself, supported on these wings that look like spines that crackle with this like red and purple energy. You can see your old familiar Kincaid is at the helm right now, who's a Gith that you've come to know and sort of trust. He's a gruff fellow. It's hard to get a read on him, but Aaron seems to trust him quite a bit. And right now, so he's lazily spinning the wheel as you travel through space, and you know that you're looking for the portal that's going to get you back to the material plane. So you see all around you these swirling clouds of like purple and green dust. Like when you're actually in the astral plane, very much unlike the experience that Saye just had, which was this weird dream, like electro light sort of vision. The astral plane is beautiful.
Oh, yeah,
when you're just floating and the spaces in between. And you've been through a lot in these 2 weeks. You've seen so many different places. You have hunted down these Nagpa one by one by one. But now's a calm moment. You're not embroiled in a battle with other pirates. You're not running for your lives. It's quiet. And Aaron sort of leans on the railing beside you and looks over. So, you ready to go back?
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is beautiful. I don't think I could ever get tired of this view, but I'm so ready to be back.
Yeah. And he looks around, like, at the crew, and you see Eldon, who's your dragonborn companion. He's currently, like, slung over the railing in his usual position, strumming along in the strange sitar-looking instrument, with his boots kicked up on the railings. It's peaceful. Yeah, it's almost nice. But you know what's coming next for having to drop into the material plane again. Yeah. Yeah, I'm gonna miss them.
Yeah. Arnadel kind of looks around and, like, there's this, like, she's kind of reflecting on the last, what was it, 2 weeks, you said? That she's been...
2 weeks. It's felt like a lot longer.
It's You've felt been like jumping... 5 months, at least.
I felt like 5 months, definitely. So you have been, I mean, hopping through planes and planes of existence to get to these different creatures, which have been scattered and hidden all over the place. With Kincaid, who's a Horizon Walker, his special ability is to be able to find these portals in between reality, and this stolen ship is the way he has been transporting you. And as you've gotten to know the team and the crew of these hunters that Aaron... associates himself with. I mean, it's been a brutal, but efficient.
Oh, sure. Time. Which is like just a tap on, you know, the maidens are the first group of people that Arnadel's gotten super close with through adversity, like surviving adversity. This is the second group that she's, you know, previous to that, she was just like a cloistered scholar and had like shallow acquaintances, you know, that just to get through school. So she's kind of like gotten a bit more worldly experience, which is probably going to be really interesting for everybody else. I would like to imagine that she's gotten kind of like a scar, like, I don't know, some little, you know what I nice. Mean? Like when you yeah. come back
what?
From some
what
crazy.
Does it look like?
I don't know. It's not like a big jagged thing like on Skyrim when you're making it, it's like cuts through the eye. I don't know, like something like little thing on her face when one of the Nagpo were like particularly bitchy.
Yeah, that was the group of three that had teamed up and gone into hiding. That was probably the toughest fight you had to deal with.
Yeah, but fucking prevailed. So she's got a little bit more world wizened. So, but which means that she's really starting to appreciate like teamwork and being less socially awkward because she's, you know, had to kind of deal with a bunch of shit. So, yeah, she's reflecting on all that. Not necessarily, she's not that self-aware about her social awkwardness. She thinks she's normal. But like, oh, wow, I just made these friends. Like, this is fucking cool. Holy shit, we survived a lot. Like, she's got this, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Appreciation for these people that have helped fight for her. People that she normally wouldn't think that she would hang out with, but she's super stoked to know them, like, deeply.
Mm-hmm.
So she just kind of looks around and smiles and looks at Aaron. She's like, I mean, I'm super ready to be home, and I'm sure you are too, but, like, maybe we could, like, road trip with these guys sometime, like, when things calm down.
I mean, you know, next time you have a blue dragon to slay.
Yeah, like, we could have, like, a barbecue or something.
Sure. Yeah, I think they would...
Yeah, they would love
like
it.
Like that.
I think they would like a lot of the folks at the Elysium Keep.
Yeah, he looks around the deck and he's like seeing like Kincaid, who always looks like he's having a miserable time no matter what is happening. And you know that Pooja is off somewhere just like being, doing some like tactical planning, being serious as fuck.
Yeah.
Warden is like crawling around the ship right now fixing things. They're just a very motley crew of
she loves them. Pirates. She loves them nonetheless. Yeah. And it was like super special to get an insight into Aaron's personal life. And now she knows a little bit more about him. Like it's all just good. Mm-hmm. It's like bittersweet because of all the shit they had to go through.
Yeah. And he's like, I would like that. A barbecue. Maybe we can bring that up at the next.
Totally. I want to see Pooja again. I really like her.
Yeah. I'm glad you're both getting along.
She's rad.
His tone goes up a bit, considering their history.
Arnadel knows. She's had girl talk with Pooja, and she's, like, super cool with it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Everybody's like, what?
Yeah, Pooja's all business, and very much, like, her and Kincaid may have a thing, but they'll never admit it to each other, sort of that relationship. And as you're, you know, making these kind of jokes, like, on the edge of this railing here, you feel a cold hand touch your shoulder very, very lightly. And standing behind you is Osborne, who, they are a wood elf, but they're also, they're always cold and, like, just distant looking. And these, like, kind of spiraling eyes, like, turn towards you. A word before you go?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Master Aaron. They nod at Aaron, and Aaron's like, okay. And they begin to glide off towards bottom decks.
Arnadel. Yeah, right? Yeah.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Half elf lad. Arnadel gives Aaron's hand a squeeze, and she kind of gives him a smile before she leaves. Like, she's gotten so much more comfortable with them. Mm-hmm. Like, they're a unit now.
And Aaron, smiles and watches you go, and then he turns around and he, like, throws a towel at Eldon, and it, like, hits him, like, on his thing. He just, like, waves his sitar as you go below decks. And Osborne, continues to move down the steps and leads you into, like, the main kind of galley area where you've all been taking your meals. And you see that there are a bunch of cards that are laid out. And you know that Osborne is a divination wizard, so they are always messing with cards and dice and runes, seems to be the way they cast. Yeah. They always seem to know wherever your prey is, wherever across
the plains. Which has been super tight. And she's got, just a side note, Arnadel's gotten all of them, right?
All of
the what? Nagpa?
Yeah. No, you've gotten all of them.
Sick. I guess
you
that would
be why.
You
have been a brutal efficient machine.
Sick.
At this process.
I mean, I've got a good team, but yeah, she's just like so resolute. She's like, fuck yes, mission accomplished. Anyway, so she sits down and just kind of waits politely for Osborne.
Yeah, and Osborne sits in the chair and folds their hands in front of them and looks down at the cards. Like, looks up at you and makes sure you're looking at the cards and then looks down at the cards. This? And they point on one of the cards and slide it forward, and it's the Death tarot card.
Oh, that's a good one.
This is you.
Cool.
And they reach out their hands and scroll over, and you see there's one that's this, like, brazen warrior holding a sword with fiery red hair. This is a champion.
I think I know one.
And they move their hands over a stack of cards here, and they flip something over. And it's this strange rune that's not traditional to the normal tarot deck. It's got, like, these strange sparks and black circles on it, and they scoot it forward. This is a dark presence. Something is going to affect this person, and I do not know if you will be able to stop it.
Me specifically, or me as with the Sisters of Sorrow?
I don't know.
I think. she's gotten to know Osborne, so she's like, that's a dumb thing to ask, like, specifics. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Osborne never reveals anything more than Osborne knows.
Right, yeah. Like, to ask is just a stupid plight. She's just like, all right, by the way, the Death card? Dude, that's tight. Thanks for that. the Harbinger of Change. Okay. Anyway, sorry, Osborne. I'm just, you know.
And Osborne begins to tap out a series of other cards. This card is family. The champion's family has something to do with this. There will be a choice. Oh, the right choice must be made. Or you, and Osborne will turn the card on its side, will cease to be.
Hmm. I have so many questions, but I know you can't answer them.
I cannot.
Yeah, that you is very ambiguous.
Give you a warning.
Got it.
I have enjoyed getting to know you.
I think you know I have as well. Got with you. And thank you for the warning. It means a lot.
Safe travels. And they will pick up the death card and give it to you.
Tight! She's like super jazzed because she knows that's a big fucking deal. And she's like beaming and just... She kind of like... When she takes the card, she extends her hand as kind of like a can I give you a hug gesture.
Yeah, and Osborne will raise their hands and...
She goes in for
leaning.
She goes in for a good, like, hard hug. She's like, thank you. This is
You press like the mage's like frail body against yours, and Osborne's like, okay.
Yeah, she's like, thank you. This means a lot.
Yeah. So Osborne hands over this card to you, and you embrace them in this hug. And then as you know, this is all wrapping up. You hear a grumbling voice from up above. It's time. The portal is opening!
Ooh, she gets a pang of nervousness because she hasn't seen her favorite people in a long time, for the longest, actually. And it also means that this group, the time with this group is coming to a close. So she's just like, I'm not ready, but I am! So she braces herself.
And as you head up deck, you feel that familiar surge, like, as the astral brake is, like, pulled on this. It's a very weird sensation, because you can't drop an anchor in the astral plane, but the shift lifts, or lilts, like, precariously on its side and seems to spin for just a moment as you sort of gravitate in place. And as you come out on deck, you see Warden, who is a man made of metal and iron that's carved with these arcane runes all throughout their body. And his, like, strong barrel frame right now is swinging two harnesses in his hand that are connected to these long cords that you know are pure magic now by this point. Well, Warden holds out one of these harnesses to you. And Aaron is currently strapping into the other one.
Everybody's there, right? Like, on deck?
Yeah. Yeah, so it's Pooja who's standing there in full armor, as she always is, just looking solemnly on the occasion. Kincaid is still just, like, with his hand on the wheel of the ship. Osborne has kind of crept up from below the decks. Eldon is, surveying, still playing his little tune. And here's Warden, and that's your crew.
Arnadal looks around, and she's having gotten to know them. She's like, I'm going to keep it short and sweet, because I know that's how you like it. I'm going to miss you guys. And she puts her harness on. She's like, I look forward to seeing you again, hopefully soon. And then turns and looks at Aaron.
Yeah. He's looking around, nodding. You get the feeling, you know, he says goodbye to them a lot. But Pooja comes up to you and she like pulls on another tightener on your harness.
Oh, that's like very sweet of her.
Yeah. And she pats you on the shoulder. Take care of him.
Promise.
You are welcome back here anytime.
Can't wait to see you, girl. You badass.
She laughs, and everybody steps back as they know what's about to happen here. And you feel Warden picks both of you up, like, by the back of your shirts.
Yeah.
And throws you off of the side of the ship. And as this is happening, with perfect timing, Kincaid always gets it right. You see this swirling vortex of silver begin spiraling just below the deck of the ship here. And as you are falling, sort of in slow motion, because gravity is really weird here, you're basically diving towards the silver portal. And as you hit it, you feel the air of the material world suddenly presses in heavy and cold around you in a way that is just unfamiliar after being in the astral plane for so long. And you are in freefall now at this time. It is being maybe early morning, but that feeling of just falling, skydiving at this rapid speed, that's all you're held up is by this magic cord. So you are dropping rapidly towards the earth, and you can see this fertile green landscape coming closer and closer.
We're talking like 5,000 miles above ground, or like from the clouds?
Let's say 500 feet up. You're not too... Oh. You, like, pop into existence. You're not coming from through the atmosphere. You're coming through a portal that's opened in space and time.
Okay. I'm going to immediately, like, take 3 seconds to, like, survey the situation and then cast... do I have fly, right? Does levitate... No, it's just on me. Can't, like, give that... Yeah, I'll cast fly, and I'm also holding Aaron's hand, and I get to include him on that, so...
Yeah, yeah, definitely as you jumped off, you've done this before. He, like, moves in and, like, tucks around you. It's like when you go, you know, bungee jumping as a couple.
Aww. Yeah, I've never like, done that, but I'll take your word for it.
I've seen people do that. I would never fucking do that. That sounds like a nightmare.
Everybody's like, you should go skydiving. I'm like, no, you can go fuck right off. I'm not jumping out of a fucking plane.
Be like, hi, I love you. Do you want to get peed on in terror? Like,
you
want
to hold on to my unconscious body as I pass the fuck out? Anyway, so I cast fly because Arnadel's clearly a better woman than I am on both me and Aaron. And we just, actually, I want to. Yeah. Make sure I get a good landing. Make sure I'm not landing in like water or anything. So there we go.
Yeah, absolutely. So you begin to fall from the sky, these silver cords wrapped around you.
Hi, hello, faithful listeners. Welcome back to Midroll, where we take a breather from the action and bulge chatter to tell you a few ways you can support our show if you like what we do and want to show some love. As always, your iTunes ratings and reviews go a long way to help get our voices into even more earholes to keep the Venture family strong, and we really just love hearing your thoughts on the show. Or you can always show us some love online and share us with your friends and followers on social media. Finally, if you're already following us, you may have heard that our very own Katie, aka Lazy Mermaiden, online is launching her own Etsy store. She is designing by hand some very cool D&D-inspired pins, and we actually got to help in design some soap inspired by our characters, which were crafted by Gianna Dickerson. I apologize, Miss Dickerson, if I am saying your name wrong at all. It was a very limited amount on the first go, so give her a follow and find her Etsy shop, Lazy Mermaiden, to see when those soaps drop and get your very own before they go. And finally, let's talk about today's sponsor, Demigod. Are you a god? Demigods, the new tabletop RPG from Jason Mills, brings the world of myth and legend to a modern setting. The action-adventure game tweaks the Apocalypse World rule set to create powerful mythical characters who are tangled up in complex relationships with each other and their pantheons. Embrace themes similar to Good Omens, American Gods, The Iron Druid, and Percy Jackson as you take control of the story. The Demigods Kickstarter is going on right now through August 8th. So for more information and a quick start of the game system, go to demigodspbta.com and follow Jason on Twitter at itsprobablyokay. All right, I am done talking. Let's get back to the action. Bye-bye.
It's morning. too early morning for the rest of you as this happens. You begin to hear roosters, because there are just roosters kind of wandering about this camp area. They begin to crow at an ungodly hour. So all of you, yeah, it's the day of the joust. What's happening?
Farah has her usual bedhead, and her hand is still wrapped around the handle of, like, an ale mug.
Yes.
And she just starts, like, cussing about these fucking chickens.
Farah is Kara's spirit animal.
Yes.
She just, like, looks around and she's, like, makes sure nobody else is there next to her that she woke up with. And she's like, all right, good. And then she just gets herself ready for the day.
Yeah. And immediately you begin to hear lots of stuff moving around outside as basically the Sisters of Sorrow is getting ready to roll out to compete in the joust. So as you, like, step kind of groggily out of your tents, you see that Kristoff is already mounted up on this huge white charger of a horse that you've never seen before. This horse is fucking massive to support his weight, and he is dressed up in, again, that armor that you saw that Valerius was, like, helping him with last night. So this, like, well-cleaned, well-loved suit of armor, let's say. It's seen many battles, but he looks quite impressive as he's, like, sitting up there, and you see that they've recruited a couple of these teens who seem to be, like, the you know, the shield bearers and everything, are mounted on either side of the horse here, and they are bearing a series of lances. Valerius looks dressed to the nines as he is out there, and he is currently standing with Isolde.
Oh, we haven't seen Isolde for a minute. She's been hanging with her cousin.
Mm-hmm. So she and Valerius are chatting. They're all wearing black and gold, which seems to be, like, the...
Yeah, Kara's just wearing, like, a shirt and pants, and she comes out of the tent and sees everyone's, like, looking all fancy. She's like, ah, goddammit, all right.
Valerius is like, dear, everyone will see us in our box.
Okay, I'll go put on the ceremonial armor. And she's just, like, dragging her knuckles back to the tent, because she, like, it's just, like, awful and heavy, but, like, not nearly the amount of protection that armor should give you, and it's just, like, awkward. Yeah, she's like, I hate this shit.
Thank you again for the bits, yeah, y'all. Wow. Jeez.
Killing it.
Huh. Lit. I'm gonna buy me some nice wine for next week.
I'm gonna buy me some $5 wine.
Whoa. $10 bottle. Ooh.
Calm down, Celeste.
I know. I'm a party girl. What can I say? What are Farah and Saye wearing to the grand joust?
It's just real convenient that black and gold is our, you know, our mood tonight and through this whole joust. So I'm wearing the same fancy outfit I wore at that, like, initial party that we went to. And but since it's so early, this is probably, like, one of the... Maybe even the first fucking time or in a long time that you've seen Saya's hair down.
No Ariana Grande?
What?
What? Wait, no ponytail?
Yeah, no messy bun, no nice ponytail. It's just all down and, like, early Cher.
How long is her hair?
Probably to her butt.
Cupping
or, like, cupping her butt. It's, yeah, like Sailor Mars length.
Cup that butt.
I cannot wait for my hair to also cup my butt.
I wish my hair would cut my butt. Someone has to.
it's beautiful.
I love all of you so much.
Have you guys gone 5 months without any bulge or dick references?
Oh, don't worry, girl. We got you. Oh. We're honoring your honoring.
No,
your
don't
memory.
Worry, honey.
Good. Good.
Oh my god, Arnadelle has seen the circlet of human perfection.
Or the bulge that comes with it.
Oh yeah, she did
have
it. Yes,
she has. We used it.
You haven't seen the goods yet, though.
What?
Literally perfect.
When were you, Nate? Yes, I did, because we all got in the baths together.
Wait, we did that too? No, we didn't.
When we went to, we did. The bathhouse.
Yeah,
no.
We
were met Harmonia. Yeah. Yes. Arnadel, she doesn't have eyes for that shit. She's all about Aaron. Come on now.
Oh,
but
man.
She was also proud that Kara had, like, the supreme. Yeah, because Saya got drunk. Oh, yeah. And I was like, have you even seen a penis? Says Arnadel, the fucking 150-year-old virgin. You know, like... You remember?
I totally forgot about the bathhouse dragon.
It's fresh for me because that was the last episode.
Oh my gosh. Thank you, Bantha Fodder. Thank you, Falcon Wolf, again. Wow. Ah, y'all.
Two bottles of good wine.
Two bottles of nice wine. So everybody's seen Carl's dick. Okay.
Yeah,
yes. Good.
Yeah. We've all been blessed.
Now we can play D&D.
Yeah.
Okay, so Sai's hair, cupping her butt. Farrah, what's Farrah wearing?
I think that as she's been hanging out with Valerius and she's been talking about him styling her, I think that she actually has the perfect outfit. It is also black and gold. And it's like high-waisted trousers with fancy boots. And everything's like a silken material. And she's got like a cute little cropped blazer. With a gold undershirt and like a bunch of star gold embroidery on the sides, and she's looking fancy as fuck.
I love it.
All right, please. Love this. Great. So you all come out, and by this point, Kristoff has had to leave. Kristoff and Isolde have left already for something called the reading of the banners. Valerius has stuck around and is like waiting impatiently for all of you, and Gidget is also there as well. She's looking real cute. She's still got like, she tried to clean up. She's got like some nice like black kind of satin overall thing going on.
You literally just said the words that were in my mind.
Sage, I know you. Black satin overalls. Really? That's wild. And she's got like this hot pink like bandana wrapped around her like hot pink hair, and she's like
I love her so much.
So they are both waiting there for all of you. Well, are you ready to go? The event of the season, they say.
Yeah, Carr eventually stumbles out of the tent. It's like, yep, okay, ready to go. Ugh, all right.
And he begins chatting, like, all the while, leading you all down. And he's explaining that the reading of the banners is the big ceremony they do where all of the houses competing. Basically, they all list and they walk around in a big parade circle around the jousting arena. You know, they make their declarations, they say all their titles, all the greatest battles they've fought. So it's a huge pomp and circumstance thing that takes, like, 2 hours for all of the minor houses and everybody else, and then from the seven districts to go ahead. And you know, it's only exciting really when like the big champions come out, the people who are expected to actually like last in the joust. So you arrive in the middle of all of this fanfare, and yeah, there's a guy who's like completely red-faced, blowing on this long trumpet, like, and then, you know, as somebody like goes, "This is Sir Andor of the Plateau of Andorra. His family for 4 generations fought in the last war."
I thought you said fart for
a second. I did too!
Fart in the last war. Sorry.
Knocked out a whole army.
I thought I wasn't the only one that heard that, because I was like, what? Anyway, sorry. Please continue.
Yes.
I'm gonna mute myself.
He had a fart attack. Oh, you all knew this was gonna be silly. You didn't expect real D&D tonight, did you? So they're just listing these. And Valerius winds your way through. There are throngs and throngs of people here, people who don't have seats. They're all crowded around like these constructed gates. But you all, since you have a private box, are being led like through the main thoroughway. Yeah, they open up the gates and they escort you around this outside edge here. And you can see that there's the huge main grand box, which is where the Tsarina is sitting. So you catch glance of her, the white lion that she keeps with her, sitting by her side here. It's like, wait, oh yeah, you saw the lion before.
That's fucking
oh
rad.
Yeah, it's this huge, yeah, at the, it was with her at the ball. Or the first night.
Oh, I don't remember that at all. That's fucking cool as shit. Yeah, I don't remember
that either. So you see her, and I mean, her whole outfit, everything is designed so everybody can see her, right? So she is currently wearing this, like, large headdress that looks like the rays of a sun. She's dressed all in pure white, just, it's like this, actually rather simple, sort of white outfit, but just adorned with all of this gold jewelry, like, all over her, and yeah, this. They're observing from the box, and you see that there are the other lords and ladies who are in attendance there. So you see Jelenith, there is an empty seat there that presumably Ravain would be sitting in. You see both, of course, Lord and Lady Fruellen are there, and I think... Oh, yes, and Finn's seat is also empty. You don't think he's competing. You just don't know where where he is. Yeah, and so you wind your way over, and that's like the grand box. But there's a lot of these smaller little private boxes that have been constructed with these nice little cushion seats. You see that there are waiters running around bringing refreshments to these private boxes. But they're all open forward, so it's very clear to see into every single box of the houses. So this is why you probably got that warning, like, people will know. If you're not there, you all are being watched as much as people are watching this tournament. So yeah, you arrive at this box. Gidget hops up and immediately like goes for the snack tray. Over there, there is a man standing there who's holding like a thing of like punch, and there are like cheeses and crackers, and he seems to be your own personal serving boy for the day. Yeah, Valerius begins fanning himself and sprawls into a chair.
Kara definitely gets two cups of punch and definitely slips some whiskey into it from her flask.
Madam! Sorry, madam. The boy says to you, we do have refreshments available. If you would like... He's kind of this, like, pimply, like, 16-year-old.
Oh, yeah, give me some of that. What are you even doing? Go, go, go.
Oh, yeah, right away.
Do you have a bartending license? How old is he, 12?
It's medieval times. Everyone has a bartending license. Fuck. Why don't Kara, Saya, and Farah, why don't you go ahead and give me perception checks?
That's a natural one.
Okay.
Ooh.
I'm tits deep in cheese and crackers. I'm not looking.
22.
Oh, okay. So I think, Kara, you're the only one who sees this. As you're, like, looking out over the crowd of people, and it's still really early morning, so it's that pale kind of light, and, like, as you're looking off in the distance, you swear you see something fall from the sky, like this silver object.
But, like, gently.
Yeah, like, it just, like, is, like, coursing, like, you see this flash of silver, and then it's, like, way off in the distance, though, as this happens. It's just very weird. You've never seen anything like it.
Yeah, Kara, after she shoos off the boy, she immediately, like, turns to Saye.
Sorry.
immediately turns to Saye and Farrah is like, wait, did you guys just see that? That was super weird. Babe,
huh? What?
Did you see that?
There was
a silver thing that fell from the sky.
Like a confetti? Or?
Like a shooting star in the
that
day?
That does happen.
That happens.
Stars fall regardless of time of day.
No, I mean, I don't...
Did you know we're, like, constantly hit by meteors, like, all the time?
Wait, hold on. Let's talk about this. Seriously.
Gidget grabs your hand and is like, make a wish, babe.
I wish I had a better alcoholic drink.
Okay, well, now it won't come true. So you said it out loud.
Farrah looks at them, she's like, oh, they're so cute.
Yep, yeah, so that happened. And eventually your little serving boy comes back. And he's got a variety of bottles with him. He's like, sirs and madams, take your pick. And he kind of lays them out, like, on the trolley right behind you. There's one that's clear, and there's one that's brown, and then there's one that's sort of a burgundy color.
Ooh, welcome for the burgundy.
Yeah. Yeah, you uncork it. It smells amazing. You're like, maybe a brandy, but kind of floral.
Yeah, live fast, die hard.
Yeah. Yeah, so this is plum brandy. So you have a lovely time.
Delicious.
And we're going to move the camera to Arnadel and Aaron, who have just landed so gently in a field. So you can see that as you were, like, coursing down here, yeah, it's around 7 a.m. or so as this is happening. You can see that far, far, far off in the distance is the city of Chasiana. But much closer to you is this huge encampment of tents. And, like, you can see that, like, a stadium has been built in this area. It's just this, like, incredibly huge tent camp.
Arnadel was present for that briefing about, like, mm-hmm. I'm assuming she would know that's probably...
this is the Grand Tourney.
Okay. Yeah. And she knew that... She remembers that we had agreed that Kara would be the champion, right?
I think at some point you knew that you were going... You decided not to go the champion route as one of your three quests. But you do know that the Sisters of Sorrow will be in attendance at this event.
Got it. Yeah, I think we decided against it because we knew we all knew Karin would win, and it would be like kind of cause too much of a stir. So we're like, all right, let's dial it back a little bit.
Yeah,
can't piss all these nobles off. In the dick wagging contest, you definitely have the biggest dick
for sure.
All right, so I guess, like, yeah, Arnold's like, all right, hey, I mean, Aaron was there for that, too, so we're like, we just both know to set off in that direction. And as we're going, I'm like, we can't just show up like this. We have to, like, change and shit.
Oh,
And shit.
Yeah, and he unslings the bag of holding that he carries with him.
Well, she has her, I'm like, I have my own, babe, thanks. But I'm like, Arnold's like, wait, are we sharing? I can't remember. It's been a minute.
He'll share. He'll share with you if you'll let him.
Yeah,
there's plenty of room in the bag of holding. He's moved his closet into your closet.
Whoa!
I know. We have overlapping bags of holding.
It's been a intense 2 weeks.
We are super partnered. So she's like, all right. So I guess we gotta get changed. Mm-hmm. And she like
he's like in a field and he looks around.
She looks at him like, yeah. Who else is around? What are you afraid? What are you?
I don't.
Have we just not been on the road for like? What are you?
It just seems impolite. I don't.
From it, to the trees.
To.
Arnadel's bewildered. Like, she's like, what do you mean? I've seen everything and there's nothing around. Let's get dressed.
Okay.
And she uses prestidigitation to kind of like, you know, like air.
Get all the wrinkles out.
She's using all sorts of different aspects of prestidigitation, like to kind of, you know, like take a bird bath, if you will.
Yeah.
Clean the pits and like put some, you know, like, like hair, fluff it. She does it for Aaron too and just gets ourselves like present. Actually, pretty nice. She's got an eye for detail. So she's making us look really nice. She comes, his hair, gets his fucking facial hair all groomed and shit.
Yeah, he's just smiling at you as you're fluffing his hair.
Oh, I bet. I'm like focused, so I don't even know. You know, I'm like, and then I get Alistair Fitzpatrick, who's in his dragon form right now. I like polish his scales, and he's all like, "Nah, stop it!" But he like kind of enjoys it.
Everybody's like,
"Yeah,
I'm gonna do. You ready?"
Totally momming it up. So, all right, are we right? We're good. We're good. She looks at him. She's like, "God damn, you clean up nice."
Well, we definitely can't do that in a field.
Oh. I mean, how did you know? I wasn't thinking about that. And by the way, yes, we can, but we don't have time right now. Let's go.
Yep. And he begins to follow after you towards the sea of tents. And as you approach, it takes you maybe about 30 minutes to like walk really to the heart of this area. And you can hear like these booming, like, horns and music and sounds of tons and tons of people coming from that large stadium ring sort of at the center here. And Aaron will lean over and says, it's probably about time for the joust. So that's what they must be doing.
Oh, can you help? Well, that's awesome. I do want to see that, but we gotta, I mean, are we just gonna like take a seat or should we find like our tent?
I mean, I think we should check in and see if everyone's all right as soon as possible. They should have a box.
I'm super anxious to see everybody, but, like, I mean, I've never been to one of these events. Do we have to, like, is there, like, will call or, like, tickets? What's...
And he like, reaches around in his bag, or in your bag, and pulls out, like, two Sisters of Sorrow, like, emblems. He's like, well, this should...
Well, we haven't been here for 2 weeks. Like, are we even still in good standing? Arnadelle's overthinking it. She's like, yeah, she pins it on.
Yeah, Aaron's like, I
we'll take a chance. Well,
yeah. And yeah, and you make your way towards, like, this large crowd area. and you can see, yeah, that everybody is currently seated in their boxes. But there is, like, it seems like there's this long line of these knights now that seem, like, ready to go on the far side of the stadium area here. And there's, like, one or two more of these knights that are walking around in circles, like, doing all these greetings. And by this point, like, the horn is like, because the guy has been, like, blowing that horn
poor lips
for
are
so many
numb.
People. Yeah. Yeah. So everybody at this point is, like, getting really, really excited because the joust is actually about to start. So you make your way through with absolutely no trouble. And you see that there is a striped black and white Sisters of Sorrow box that has the emblem of the three pins on top.
She looks at her hand and she's just, like, so fulfilled with comfort at she's like, she almost, you know, like a nervous dog that, like, can't, like, almost piddles because they can't contain their excitement. She's, like, getting that level of, like, anxiousness to see her fucking homies. Familiar homies! Faces. Yeah, it's almost, like, unreal. So she's just, she starts, like, walking super quickly. And she's, like, holding on. She's, like, basically clenching Alistair Fitzpatrick's tail because she just, like, can't. She's, like, I can't even right now. And beelines it to the tent.
Yeah. And... you do. And then Brittany, wow, I'm just fusing realities. Brittany, do you want to explain what they see when you walk around the corner? What y'all look like? Your cool scar? I don't know.
Like I said, it's like a very, like, you know, like the conveniently slightly, like, attractive scar. She's fucking elf.
Yeah.
She just gets lucky like that. You know the one that, like, kind of highlights the cheekbone, that, you know, like, where you're like, yeah. Oh, like, that's kind of a hot scar. Y'all bear with me on this.
Hot scar. Yeah, got scar. It. Got it.
Accidental contouring.
Thank you. That's exact. You saw what I was doing there with, like, the cheekbone. Exactly. So, and she, like, and her hair, like, she probably looks a little bit, like, thinner and a little bit more rugged, you know, than, like, you guys are used to seeing. A little bit more withered.
Rough.
Well, for a moon, for an elf, you know, like, elf speaking. You can tell that normally the meticulous care that gets put into her clothing and hair and stuff is a little bit less than normal. She got ready at a fucking field. And she just kind of opens the tent and looks at you guys. And she's just like, her eyes kind of water up. But, like, you can tell that she's, like, definitely, like, keeping that fucking under wraps. And she's just like, hey, guys.
Kara swirls around a little sloppily when she hears your voice. And she's got, like, the, like, plum brandy bottle in her hand and, like, the cup of punch in the other. And she's like, what? What the fuck are you doing here? Oh my god, you're alive!
Yeah, you're just like, whoa! What was in that wine? But she bounces up, yeah, and Valerius also, who's been lounging here, just stands up immediately, and yeah, and Aaron goes over to him, and they kind of, like, do sort of... Aaron goes for, like, a man slap,
yeah.
And Valerius is like, oh...
doesn't know how.
Kara and Aaron do their secret handshake.
Oh yeah.
Oh, hold on. Before any of that takes okay. place, Arnadelle, after she, like, opens it and says, "Hey guys," and you guys turn around, she's going to fucking march over. Before you can do any kind of fucking man handshake with fucking Aaron, she's gonna be, like, encasing you guys in, like, a big fucking hearty hug. Cause goddamn it, how she missed you.
If your initial, hey guys, is like, that quiet and delicate.
Yeah. Saya is very briefly wrapped up heavily in a conversation about meteors and astronomy with the serving boy, just like preaching to him all this stuff.
Peter.
Serving boy. But then as Kara screams and says, "What the fuck?" she like shoves him to the side and is like, "Arnie!"
Yeah, I think we all probably like greet each other at about the same time, like in a hug unit, if you will.
A hug unit, yes. And Arnadel, you notice that there is someone here that you have never seen before. Katie, would you like to go ahead and describe what Farrah looks like?
Sure.
For Brittany.
So she's about 6 foot tall, just very like string bean tiefling. She's got teal hair, very tan skin. She's got like Madame Hooch eyes, or like Gerald Witcher. She just looks very leisurely. Her mouth is very full of cheese and crackers.
Yes.
My kind of fucking friend here.
And she's got like a bottle in her hand. And she just kind of looks up and she's like, "That's her? Are you?"
Wait. Arnadel looks and she's like, first of all, she takes note that you've got cheese and crackers and a thing of wine. She's like, "Oh yeah, this is definitely one of the maidens."
And she like kind of goes in and like inserts herself into the hug a little bit. She's like, "Yeah, I'm so happy to meet you. I'm Farrah."
Oh, she like instantly like three hug unit, her arm extends to like also like wrap around you, and she's like, "I don't know who you are, but like clearly you're one of us, and I'm so excited to be here."
Yeah, Aaron, Valerius, and Gidra are sort of like, "Yay!" like on the outside.
She gets up and hugs both of them as well. Like she's okay. Just like she's trying really hard to be like keep her emotions in check because she's had a problem with that in the past, as we all know. And this like stint on the road, she's like, "I should be more in charge of that." But now she's just too overcome with it, and she starts to kind of like get like hot in the face, like, "Oh my god, I'm so excited to see you guys." So she gives everybody a hug, and once that all settles down, she's going to want to talk to Farrah.
Yeah, and while all of this is going on and you're hugging and stuff, that you see, like, a face pops around from the booth next door to yours, and it's this, like, rich-looking man with, like, this big salt and pepper mustache, and he's like, "Hey, it's about to start. Shh."
Oh my god.
He sees you flip him off, and he "Sorry, what? What are you
Nobody
doing, young lady?"
Nobody said anything. It was a hand motion, because you told us to be quiet. So, get back to your booth.
Be quiet.
You can close it.
About to start.
Close it.
Okay.
Ugh, neighbors.
And he does. He, like, sticks his head back into his own booth.
Kara very drunkenly is like, "Do you bite your thumb at me, sir?"
Nice. He pops back around. He's like, "What did you say?"
She like sticks out her thumb or her tongue out at him and just like tips up the bottle. Just like swirls back around.
Arnold's gonna use mage hand and just like slowly close the curtain. And she's gonna turn around and be like, she's gonna mouth, "I'm so excited to see you guys."
You can definitely talk at normal volume. It's just, you know, all the screaming. This old man wasn't having none of it.
His heart can't handle it.
Oh, God.
Wow, so you're alive? That's great.
Yeah, how, Valerius is like, how did it go?
Is the mission complete?
Well, I certainly hope so, because I'm pretty good at counting, and I counted 13 of those assholes. 13, right? It's 13.
Yeah.
Okay. That's yep. I'm like, wait a second.
Right on the money.
Okay. Yeah, 13. Yeah. I'm here. Did you hear that?
Lucy.
Yeah.
That's AJ. He's a 17-year-old dog. Aww. He's blind and deaf, and he knows it's dinner time, so pardon me.
That's what I sound like when I know it's dinner time, too.
Hot same. Yeah.
Yeah, sorry about that. So she looks at him and she's like, "Oh yeah, the mission's complete. Like, I don't want to talk about it right now. We can talk about it later. But yes, I'm here. And I'm so happy to see you guys."
And Aaron will, like, kind of turn towards you, Farrah, and he, yeah, sticks out a hand. He's like, new recruit?
Yeah, I got this sick tat.
Oh! Oh, you're not, like, a recruit. And he points at the...
Yes.
Arnadel's like... three of you.
Oh, my God! She's like, oh! Which... What do you have? What's your thing? What'd they give you? the thing. You know what? The thing. What they give you. I need to know. I'm so excited.
You know, I've heard a lot about these things. A presence. I don't. I thought maybe this was just it. I don't know.
Arnadel kind of feels real dumb right now. Like, she looks over at like, Kara and Saya is like, can you help me out here?
Kara shrugs.
All right, I've just done interplanar travel. I'm really sorry. She takes like she grabs a drink super quick and like chugs it. She's like, I'm really sorry, Farrah. Like I'm excited to get to know you. Let me just put my foot in my mouth and I'm gonna sit down and like chill for a second.
No, I mean I've heard a lot about what you've been up to and a lot of good things. You need more drinks. Sit down.
Kara.
She sits next to you because she's like, oh, God, thank you. I'm like, yeah, more drinks. But also, like, and she just sits down. She's like, yeah, fuck yeah.
Kara just, like, kind of, like, leans over onto Farrah and, like, passes a bottle to Arnadel and is like, Arnie's a little intense.
Arnadel looks at the card and is like, really? Coming from you?
All of y'all.
We're all intense in our own special snowflake ways.
Yes. Yeah, and as you all are kind of settling in and everybody's like in a great mood now, like drinks are flowing, like your companions are back. Yeah, you hear one final desperate bah! Like comes out from the field.
More horn! And you...
And you see that two knights move forward to take the field, and there is cheering that goes around the crowd as these two knights square off against each other. One you see is in just this gorgeous, it almost looked like pearl, like white armor, as they are trotting around the ring, and they are bearing a standard that has like this golden sun on it, and people are just like cheering their heads off for this guy. You weren't here for the reading of the banner, so you're not really sure who this was. Yeah, and the crowd is like vamping up as they go and take one position on the field here. So for jousting, for those of you who may not know, there is this large circular ring, and down the center of it, there is this like short wooden divider on either side. And then these two knights will square off with each other, bearing these lances, which are about 8 feet in length. So right now the white knight is trapsing around with this lance. And then there's like a pause for a moment as everybody looks like expectantly to the other side of the field to see who the opponent is going to be. And like a moment passes and there's like a weird energy where people start to like whisper like, who's gonna come up here? And then you see step onto the field this knight that is huge in comparison to even like Kristoff or this other guy. You would guess probably about 8 feet tall, and then the horse that he's on is just massive. And dressed in this very strange jagged armor. But the weirdest thing about it, and it completely like plate covering their face, so you can't see anything. Unlike the other knight who, you know, the visor's open and you see, like, blonde locks, like, falling out and he's, like, smiling at everyone. This knight is completely green. Like, their armor, their horse is, like, this bright spring green. And everybody is, like, whispering amongst themselves in the crowd, and you see that the standard, they don't have an icon or anything on their flag. It's just this solid green flag.
Kara is like very loud, is like, what the fuck's up with that guy?
Kara, oh my God, maybe you should slow down.
Yeah, you see a mustache face poke around. It's like, shh.
I hate that.
She, like...
Yeah,
Saya is embarrassed.
Yeah. There's definitely... What the fuck? There's definitely, yeah, a lull in the crowd. And this knight doesn't bother, the green knight doesn't bother to vamp or do anything. They just go and walk to this space on the other side, squaring off against this white knight who has now stopped, like, you know, leading their horse around and looks at this opponent strangely. But they both take up their lances on either side, and you see the white knight flips down their helmet. And yes, this other standard bearer steps out in front of the main box that the Sarina is sitting in. My lords! My ladies! I am honored to present the first bout of the day! And they hold, like, two flags in either hand here, and they step forward towards the center of the ring, and everybody, like, inhales in anticipation. And then as this this guy brings down the two flags, you see these two horses charge towards each other, one completely green and the other white, as they come up on this field here. And the guy with the flags, like, steps back so quickly as this happens, and you hear this sickly crunching sound as this happens, and the next thing you know, in an instant, you almost miss it, because as the two collide with each other, you see that this lance drives through the white knight's armor, completely, like, sticking him through the shoulder, and you see he is thrown backwards off of this horse here as the shattered green lance is just left, like, in his bleeding shoulder now, as he's just thrown off the back of his horse, and the green knight lets go of the lance as this happens, and carries their horse onto the other side and turns promptly to wait, as if their opponent was going to get back up. The white knight is no longer moving. And Valerius is, like, looking at the field. He looks back at all of you like, what?
What's up with that guy? He's so weird.
I don't know. I don't think this is okay, but Kristoff is up next.
Is he dead or is he down?
Yeah, and, like, the guy with the flags, like, runs out to main field, like, when the white knight doesn't move, to get back up on their horse, and kind of, like, leans down and checks. And he raises, like, a hand, and you see some white-robed clerics, like, run out onto the field and, like, take a look at this guy. And again, everybody in the crowd is just murmuring, freaking out. And you see eventually one of the clerics runs off and a cart returns, and a bunch of them, like, lift the body up onto the cart. And this whole time, the Green Knight has sat there just completely unmoving.
Arnie, you're the magic person. What's up with this guy?
She's, like, totally, like, just loving the fuck out of this alcohol that she hasn't had in a long time, too long.
You've, like, been on an astral pirate ship. You've had alcohol.
But not, like, material plane alcohol.
Yeah.
It's true. Different. It's like that shit, like,
it's better here.
For sure. It actually has alcohol. It's, like, fermented. The other stuff wasn't. It was, like, something else.
It was, like, alcoholic air.
Yeah.
You, like, sniffed it instead of.
It was terrible. I mean, it did the trick with enough of it. But so she like, kind of, she's just like, oh, like, relishing. And she's like, wait, what? She hears you and she's like, oh, hold on 1 second. And she kind of, like, puts her detect magic on and, like, looks, and will also do an arcana check.
Sure. Yeah, as you look at this completely green knight, you can tell that there is blue enchantment magic encasing all of this. This unit of both the horse and the knight there.
It's an 18 arcana.
Farrah will touch your arm and cast guidance on you too.
Wow, okay, nice. 18 so then that'll plus... be a 20.
Oh, four.
Plus okay. 4.
Well, there
so
we go.
22. Ooh, right. Okay.
She feels your touch and she feels the boost and she's just like,
oh. Girl.
Girl.
Yeah, so you, yeah, as you're looking at this magic that's just encasing this figure, I mean, you can tell, like, the color and everything, this is not natural. This is certainly some kind of enchantment that's been placed either on the horse and the knight, or maybe the horse and the knight were created purely by magic. And you can see that there seems to be, like, this stronger core at the heart of this thing, so maybe something worn under the breastplate is, like, pulsing with this blue magic.
That being said, she's also, like, in her drunken, or buzzed. She's buzzed. She's also, she's like, maybe I should look around and see if anybody else is cheating. And, like, does a cursory glance around at the other knights, including the one that is up to bat, so to speak.
Yeah, so right now, the one that was up to bat is being currently carted away. He don't look so good. You can, you know, you want to be able to see that. Go ahead and make me a perception check.
Well, I mean, if my detect magic is on. I'm looking for detect magic. Like, with detect magic, she's looking to see if anybody else is magically.
Yeah, for sure.
Like,
this is still going to be very hard to see, so make me a perception check.
Ooh, not so bad. That's, you said perception?
Mm-hmm.
A 16. That's my math face.
Okay. Yeah, so as you're, like, scanning this crowd all around you, a lot of people have magic items on them. You can see, like, you know, small blips of magic all over the place, but nothing that would read to you as, like, anything to match the signature of this, like, big ol' fuck you magic coming from this knight.
She was just looking at the other knights. Okay, so that guy's clearly fucking cheating. They might have, like, a +5 to shield or whatever, like, kind of thing. Like, if it's, like, a little baby magic register that I probably would not have seen. But that guy is seriously bamped. And she's saying that. She's, like, looking and scanning, and she's kind of thinking out loud to everybody. She's like, I don't really see anything. Like, but that guy's definitely fucking boosted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's about this point, you know, people have started to chatter here, and the knight, yeah, has just completely stood still on the field. And the guy with the flags now, you know, he's sort of recovered both of them, and he steps forward, and you see a new knight come onto the field, one you recognize on that white charger as Kristoff moves forward to face off with this green knight with that horrible thing that just happened. And you hear the standard bearer, now presenting Kristoff Highgarten, Lord Commander of the Sisters of Sorrow, and
woo!
Yeah, but Valerius is like, yeah! Like, you are very small, like, in the midst of this crowd of people that do not care for the mercenaries from the north. Yeah, and you see Kristoff steps forward and levels the lance and is about to joust with this green knight. And I think that's where we're gonna call it.
I fucking knew it! I fucking knew it!
Devising a plan.
Well, now you have 2 weeks to think about your plan. Oh my gosh, it's so good to have everybody back. We're all back together.
Wow. So lovely.
Yeah. It was weird, but it felt like old times.
Right? Yeah, it's like weird but good weird. I know, it's like we all have to learn how to be a team again.
Oh, wow.
I think
yeah,
that starts with
booze. Yeah.
I'm there. It sure does.
All your bits. One all around. Everybody. Wow, guys. Well, thank you, everybody, so much for tuning in. Chat was lit. Thank you for all of the bits and all of you folks who came out to see the
subscribe.
Yes, and the return of Brittany to our group. The maidens are whole again, and we are so happy about it. Oh, yeah. Whole and full and ready to roll.
We're reunited with the addition of another maiden. So we're mobbing deep, you guys. Like, fuck yeah, we got an entourage. We are the entourage.
We are
the whole new and improved squad walk.
Oh my god, we have got to totally figure out a new squad walk. I'm so excited.
The power of the walk has increased. All right, everybody. Well, we are excited to be back next time. But in the meantime, I have been your dungeon master, Celeste Konowich.
And I am your moon elf warlock, Arnadella Thill, played by Brittany Quintero.
Oh, me. And
we're learning so
much.
We'll
get this eventually.
And I am Katie, playing your tiefling sorcerer, Farah.
And I, Nassim, have been your human monk, Sayanur.
And I'm Sage, and I play Kara Brynhilda, the dwarven barbarian.
Oh, thank you, everybody, so much for tuning in. And until next time...
Venture away!
Oh, venture away. That's going to be with 5 people. It's going to be so loud.
So powerful. Okay.
Anyway, bye.
Bye.
Pineapple. Have you forgotten
pineapple? I just said pineapple.
everybody, it's Katie. Thank you so much for listening. Before you head out into the great wide world, we have one more sponsor, D&D Beyond. I literally bought myself a tablet today specifically to use D&D Beyond when we're out at Gen Con this year. Because after D&D Live, I knew that it was no longer an option to not have it with me anytime that I'm friggin' playing. After all, without D&D Beyond, I wouldn't have known that for one measly sorcery point, I could fireball an assassin 300 feet away from my character, atop a building over a busy street in one of the biggest cities in Faerun. Without D&D Beyond, Celeste wouldn't have known that this creature wasn't resistant to fire, nay, it was immune to it. Without D&D Beyond, I wouldn't have been able to do the math quick enough to keep up with combat when that creature came back to kick my butt and rid me of all my hit points. And without D&D Beyond keeping us quick on our feet, we would not have been able to fit in a full combat after the absurd amount of time that we spent informing the bartender of the most iconic tavern in all of Baldur's Gate that no, we did not want a sad elven woman bringing us down when we were drinking. So do yourself, your DM, and your party members a favor. Make an account. Use your phone, use your computer, buy yourself a friggin' tablet, but let D&D Beyond be the hero that you not only need, but desperately, desperately want. This has been a public service announcement, and now I'm going to venture the heck away. Thank you.